This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
If you go to our mortgage team's website, you'll find hundreds of testimonials of real Christian radio listeners we've helped. Laura here is a recent friend who is kind enough to share a few words with her local station.
I was actually referred to United Faith Mortgage through my mother-in-law. We decided it was time for us to start looking for a house, and I reached out to Kelly, and we found several houses we liked, but, you know, with the seller's market, things kept falling through. But anytime we needed her, she was there for us. She got everything we needed as soon as we asked for it, and she made it work. She made sure that if that was the house that our family wanted, we were going to get that house. They're a wonderful company, and we're just really blessed that we found them in the process, that they helped us get through it, and we are in the home of our dreams, and our family is so happy.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. This is the grace that's for pardon. It's the grace of God in me. It's the grace that converts me.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you are with us today as we continue our message, What's So Amazing About Grace? And yesterday, man, you got worked up at the beginning of the program just thinking about the grace of God and all that he has given us that we do not deserve. And as you point out today, that includes our salvation. I mean, we don't deserve eternal life.
That's right.
We get it through him.
That's right. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And here's why I got so excited, because the Bible says, he who is forgiven much loves much.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about all that he's forgiven me of. All the sins of commission, things I did I should not do. Sins of omission, things I should have done that I didn't do. And sins of disposition, that funky attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and he forgave all of it, cast it in the depths of the sea. And as the old preacher would say, put up a sign, no fishing. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:4. We have a so great salvation, a comparative and a superlative. So great. What's so great about it? That it has three aspects to it: justification, sanctification, and glorification. So in justification, I have been saved. Sanctification, I am being saved. Glorification, I will be saved. So then there's justifying grace that declared me righteous. Then there's sanctifying grace that is deeming me righteous. In other words, I'm in process of being made in my everyday walk with Christ, not sinless, but every day I walk with him, I should sin less and less and less. And then ultimately, I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm looking forward to this. In glorification, glorifying grace,
yeah,
I will be free from the presence of sin. I won't think any wrong thoughts or anything. No woman in a tight skirt could draw my attention. Or they don't now, sweetheart. They don't now. They don't now. They don't now. But, you know, no temptation. I'll be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the ultimate icing on the cake of grace.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to look forward to. As a matter of fact, I tell people, I'm not waiting for the undertaker, I'm waiting for the upper taker. Because 1 Corinthians 15, the same passage we're in, we're not just dealing with it, says this: on the way up, if I'm alive when Jesus comes, the blood will be drained out of my body. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'll be transformed on the way up into an immortal, glorified body.
Yeah.
And John said in 1 John 4, I'll see him as he is, and I'll be like him.
I understand why you're getting so worked up about this.
And amen.
Yeah, what a thing. If you know Christ, what a thing to look forward to.
Amen.
If you don't know Christ, man, I want to encourage you, keep listening.
and talk to someone who does know Jesus about what it means to begin a relationship with him, come to know him, or even call this number and talk with somebody about beginning a relationship with Jesus. The number is 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Right now, though, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, like you alluded to a moment ago, as we continue the message, What's So Amazing About Grace? Here's Pastor Ford.
In verses 1 through 4, he talks about the truth of the gospel. In verses 13 through 22, he talks about the triumph of the gospel. In verses 23 through 44, he talks about the transformation of the gospel. And in 45 through 58, he talks about the testimony of the gospel. Verse 10, you say, you didn't say anything about verse 10, because that's the one I'm going to share with you. That's the theme of the gospel. So the truth, the triumph, the transformation, the testimony, let's focus our sermonic spotlight on that salient scripture verse 10. Let me read it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Wow. Here it is. He's saying the Christian life from start to finish is by grace. Why is the Christian life lived by grace? Because here's what he's saying. Grace is not a way of living the Christian life. Grace is the only way to live the Christian life. Let's look at it. Let's clothe ourselves with this text and three reasons why. Now watch this. Look at your text. All that I am, grace. All that I have, grace. All that I do, grace. You see that? Is it in your Bible or just in mine? Yeah, he's saying, listen, now we're going to start with the second grace. Why? Because, listen, he doesn't put it in order. He talks about sanctifying grace first, then justifying grace. Now watch this. Go back to the text. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right now, we're being sanctified. We know our salvation has how many aspects to it? Three. What are they? Justification, sanctification, glorification. So justification happened in the past, sanctification is happening in the present, and glorification will happen in the future. All right? So he says he's digressing in the second grace. Notice he says, which was bestowed upon me. He's going back to the past. So first you got sanctifying grace, then you got justifying grace and sustaining grace. So here it is. Let's start with this one. So he says, let me tell you that this grace that Jesus is, first thing it does, it saves me. It saves me. Listen to it. Once again, there's only one verse. He says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. This is the grace that's for pardon. It's the grace of God in me. It's the grace that converts me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, you hear it all the time, and we got a new young group called Milestone Ministry with millennials, and right now they're studying about how to witness to people. And you know there's only three kinds of believers, right? Only three kinds. Non-believers, real believers, and make-believers. That's it. And Paul's saying, I'm not a make-believer. Here's the problem. A lot of people have been pressed in starch, but they ain't never been washed. They're in church, but they're not in Christ. They're going to church, and like I said last night at the concert, and going to hell at the same time. Going to church makes you a Christian, like going into Mickey D's make you a Big Mac number one, supersize. It don't work that way. Like going into a garage makes you an automobile. It doesn't work that way. And so we know that being baptized under the water is not under the blood. So here's what he have. Notice how he starts off. Verse 1, you have the proclamation of the truth of the gospel. In verse 2, you have the purpose of the truth of the gospel. Verse 3a, you have the process of the truth of the gospel. Verses 3b and 4, you have the parameters of the gospel. You know, I was in Savannah, Georgia. What a beautiful, beautiful state Savannah, Georgia is. And I was in there.
And I had just bought, you know, I was preaching for Pastor Kenny Grant, and I had just bought a brand new brown suit with a sharp brand new brown tie. I had on me some brand new brown Stacy Adams with some brand new Versace socks with a brand new Stacy Adams brown brim. You could tell me nothing. And so I'm getting dressed, Bro Junius. I get on the elevator and I'm on the 14th floor. When I get to the 12th, these two people get on of the lighter hue, and they're young people. And they, you know, he's frisky, and I can say, I know they wasn't married because they was just too much on each other, you know. You know, the longer you married, the less you on each other. You come on, you walk in the restaurant and you know who married. All you gotta do is look around. If they holding hands and rubbing and all, you know, can't hardly eat from looking at, they ain't married. But they sitting there eating their food and really focused on it, ain't talking to each other, they been married a long time. And so I'm on the elevator, he gets on, I'm standing here, just the three of us, and I hear her say, uh-uh, don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you dare. And he said, oh, I don't mean no harm, you know me, you know me. And I'm saying to myself, okay, now, he better be careful, because I ain't always been saved. He said, excuse me, sir. And I said, yes, young man, what can I do for you? He said, are you famous? I said, well, no, I'm not famous. Why would you ask? He said, because you look expensive. To which I replied, no, bro, I'm not famous, but I am expensive. He said, I told you, I told you. I said, yeah, because I was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came down because we couldn't go up. And now that he came down, we can go up. So the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of man may become the sons and daughters of God. So I am very expensive. I said, you're just looking at the outward, but if you can see me inside, I'm covered in the blood. He looked at her and he said, next time I'm going to listen to you. And I said, hey, man, I said, no, I'm serious. Let me tell you the gospel. Then we hit the bottom floor. He said, we got to go. Come on, baby. He got out of there. I said, that's the last black man he going to talk to on the elevator with a suit on. No, no. But he's right. Yeah. Everybody who's been born again, who have experienced his justification, you are expensive. Listen, I tell everybody, I haven't gotten to the point, even as a pastor, that I don't sin anymore. But I do tell you this, I don't enjoy it like I used to. Is any real people up in the house? Amen. And so here he's saying, listen, you need to understand something, that we are those who have experienced his grace.
Well, I hope that you have experienced that grace of God in your life. When you do, you'll never be the same. You know, God's grace is truly amazing. And if you've tasted that, if you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, this may seem kind of foreign to you, but something you'd like to experience, you'd like to get there, but maybe you're hung up, you got some questions about getting to know God. And I want to encourage you to call this toll-free number, talk with someone about what it means to experience God's grace and to begin a relationship with Him. The number is 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, if you're just joining us, we're in 1 Corinthians 15 as we get back to our message, What's So Amazing About Grace?
But then I want you to notice, secondly, he says, Jesus is the grace that saves me. It was bestowed on me. And here's what he said, it wasn't in vain. Now you got to think about this. The word vain means of no effect. It means empty. Here it is, how you're living. The old preacher would say it this way. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so here he says, look, God saved me. And he's going back to what? Acts 9, the Damascus Road. And he said, on that Damascus Road, God gave a transformation and I'm a new creature in Christ.
Now, you're not sinless, but as you fellowship with Christ, you ought to sin less and less and less. I ought to sin less this year than I did last year. Why? Because I'm walking with him and he has saved me. Now, notice the first one. He says, Jesus is the grace that saves me. Notice secondly, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So this grace is the grace that shapes me. It's called sanctifying grace. And so remember what? Justification, my spirit was saved immediately. Sanctification, my soul is being saved progressively. Glorification, my body will be saved ultimately. Everybody still with me? Okay, and so here it is. Now he's saying, listen, he says, we don't live the Christian life by trying. We live the Christian life by trusting. That we have to stand on the word of God. Now, I say this all the time, ad infinitum, ad nauseum, but I'm wondering if anybody's with me on this. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And so we ought to give our heart to Jesus Christ. Maya Angelou said this when she was speaking to women. She said, a woman's heart should be so hid in Jesus Christ that a man would have to find Jesus in order to get to her. That's it. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, Jesus worked for me to pardon me. Now Jesus working in me to sanctify me. Yeah, that's it. Is he working in you? So the harder matters, the more the heart. Why? Because he's working on our hearts. You know, this morning I got up and I headed out early because, like I said, I had you in mind. And I said, okay, I got to iron my shirt. So guess what? There's a preacher in Dallas who talks to inanimate objects. That's where I got it from. I said, well, if he could talk to him, I could talk to him too. So you ain't going to believe this. The shirt talked to me. Shirt said, I know you ain't going to put that hot iron on me. That hot iron has steam coming. You're going to burn me. And I said, shirt, be quiet. I know I'm talking to you, but Shakespeare said there are sermons in stones. And if stones can talk, I know shirts can too. So let me talk to you. Let me get you straight. He said, well, I don't want to be burned. I said, first of all, I'm not going to burn you because I paid for you. And you weren't cheap. You Egyptian cotton. So you weren't cheap. You were expensive. So I'm not going to burn you. Now, you need to know something else. Even though there's steam coming out of the iron, you need to understand that I put it on a setting. It's set for your fabric. See, I know your being. And so I didn't set it on silk because I know the wrinkles won't come out. I didn't set it on wool because I know it'll burn you. I set it on cotton. Because I know exactly the amount, y'all ain't praying with me in here, of heat that you need. I said, so now what I'm going to do is you're going to feel something and it's going to be hot. But I'm going to get those wrinkles out. Get those wrinkles. Because the reason I purchased you and did all of this stuff and now I'm ironing you is because when I stand before the people who didn't hear that there's only one service at 10 o'clock, I want to look good. I don't want them saying, look at his shirt. It's so wrinkled. I can't even keep my mind on the sermon. And after I got done and put the shirt on, we were looking in the mirror and the shirt said, you're looking good. I said, thank you. I said, you're making me look good. And that was the whole purpose. Did you get that? Did you get that? Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything you're going through right now, what God is taking you through right now, you're in the heat. And what God is doing, he's sanctifying you. He is getting you to the point where you are going to make him look good because we got wrinkles. And so God says, you got a toxic personality. I got to apply some heat. You know, you ain't doing right. I got to apply some heat. You gossiping, lying. I got you still drinking and drugging. You still going to the club on Saturday and coming to church on Sunday. You still getting up out of bed with a person that you ain't married to. You living a Christian life from the waist up and not the waist down. He's applying the heat. Why? Because he's making us. He's chipping off forward so that everybody can see the Lord. That's what he's doing. Paul said, yeah, God has done that. He's the one that's doing that. No, he saves me. What's the difference? You know it. You know it all the time. We talk about it around here all the time. Don't we, Sister Tense? We say when he saves you, you get the Spirit. But when he shapes you, the Spirit gets you. When he saves you, you're converted. But when he shapes you, you're committed. When he saves you, he prepares you to live in heaven. But when he shapes you, he prepares you to live on earth. When he saves you, you surrender your soul. But when he shapes you, you surrender your life. When he saves you, you get God's pardon. But when he shapes you, you get God's plan. In other words, when he saves you, Jesus takes you out of sin. But when he shapes us, Jesus takes sin out of us. That's what he does. Yeah. And he's working on us. He's working on us. I got to say it one more time till somebody can stand up and tell it to me. The harder the matter is the matter of the heart, right? So God is working on your heart. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of guard your house. Put a sign up there, under construction, not for sale, owned by Jesus Christ. Why? Because, and I say it all the time, who can help me out? Who can? What do you see with? Do you see with your eyes? No, you don't see with your eyes. What do you see with? Your heart. How do you know that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yeah, do you hear with your ear? No, you hear with your heart. John chapter 9, the Pharisees would not hear him because of the hardness of their heart. So the earwax didn't come from the ear, it came from the heart. Yeah, you don't speak with your lips, you speak with your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't think with your mind, you think with your heart. As a man or woman thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so he's working on our hearts. That's why we can't watch everything. That's why we can't listen to everything. And I know what you're saying. You know, I can't help what I see, but you can help what you look at. I can't help what I hear, but you can help what you listen to. And I don't know about you. I just told him on Wednesday night. I don't watch BET, MTV, I don't watch Scandal, Empire, anything where there's sex going on. You say, why? Because I know that the battlefield is the mind. And I know that my mind struggles to submit to Jesus. So if I'm sitting there looking at all this stuff, it's programmed the computer of my mind. I begin to think those thoughts. Every action begins with, you didn't do it till you first thought it. And you start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Well, see, I'm just going to speak for me. I ain't going to lie. I ain't going to sit up here and preach to you and lie to you because I got to stand before God. And he said, why you lie to them people? Why you lie to them people? That's it. No, I don't trust it. I don't always give victory. I shouldn't be looking at that. And so what happens here? As the sensitivity to sin increases, the activity of sin decreases. And that's what Paul was talking about. We need to treat sin in our life like sand in our eye. Anybody ever get something in their eye? And you around somebody, you don't care if they need a breath mint, it ain't brush their teeth. Hey, blow, I got something in my eye. Blow, right? And that's the way we ought to treat sin.
It's quite the vivid picture, isn't it? But so true. We do need to rid ourselves of that sin in our life to keep those short accounts with God. Well, you're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, and maybe his teaching has helped you with something specific in your life, like strengthening your marriage, help bring you to Jesus, or to get your finances under control, or maybe even to understand a certain passage of Scripture. Well, if that's the case, we'd love to know that, and you can share your story with us when you come to our website and click on the contact link. Just come to treasuredtruthradio.org and again, click on that contact link. That's also how you can ask a question of Pastor Ford, because I know as you listen, maybe there's a question that comes to mind that he didn't end up answering on that broadcast, and you'd really like to know what that passage means or how we live something out in our Christian lives. Well, again, you can ask your question by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org, click on the contact link, and we'll make sure he sees those, and we just might answer one on a future broadcast. One last time, our website address is treasuredtruthradio.org. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.